episode 97, How to Transition from Spender to Saver.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
This is Jill.
And we are super excited to not just be coming at you via podcast, but also on our new web show on YouTube. And if you have not subscribed to Frugal Friends Podcast on YouTube, check it out. You'll be able to see our faces and tell which one of us is which.
This is me.
And the only reason we're coming to you from YouTube on this episode is because we lost the audio to last week's episode.
What?
Which was supposed to be this episode. So we're talking all about how to transition from chronic spender to chronic saver. And we're going to hopefully, the audio will make it and this episode will actually make it out. This is the episode the universe doesn't want you to hear.
We're coming back with a comeback because it's audio and video. So it's like, you want to steal our audio? Well, we're going to do audio and video.
Amen. So first, our sponsors, and then we'll get into this really good content. This episode is brought to you by Empower. It's an awesome mobile app jam-packed with features that make managing your money more easy. Its budgeting feature allows you to set monthly and weekly spending limits, and it has an auto-save feature that analyzes your spending and transfers small amounts to savings. Those are great, but there are two features that really set Empower apart. First is the high-yield checking account. Empower has a checking account currently offering 1.6% APY, and that is higher than some high-yield savings accounts. The other is direct access to their financial coaches. Have a question? Just text them and they'll answer during normal business hours. So if you like the sound of that, download Empower from the App Store and use the code FRUGAL, F-R-U-G-A-L, to get a $5 bonus when you reach your first savings goal.
Well, what? Also brought to you by Restraint. When your mind is telling you no, but your body is telling you yes, practice restraint. When you pass that perfect little bowl with all the right colors and contours in the aisle of your favorite store, and your body fills with excitement, starting from your belly, radiating to your fingertips, and somehow causing your jaw to clench out of cuteness, and your mind interrupts with a, what are you even going to do with that bowl? Listen to the voice of reason. You don't need that bowl. Don't spend the money. Restraint. Deadening all the feels to save some money.
Oh, you love tiny bowls.
I do. I don't know what it is.
This is about you.
Yeah. I'm always drawn to them. And what are you going to do with one singular bowl? I don't know.
One tiny bowl. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyways, so we had so much great stuff for you in this episode that there's no way in heck that we were skipping it. So
the universe did not want you to hear it, but we're going to make it happen.
Yes. So our first article on how to transition to saver from spender is from J.D. Roth over at getrichslowly.org. And he goes through the ways he went from spender to saver. And I thought this was a cool to start with instead of like a list on how to do it. His is a lot of his story on how he did it.
Which is always relatable when you hear what has actually worked for somebody else and then figuring out how to tweak it for yourself.
Yeah. And a lot of it came from going through getting out of debt. He paid off his debt, built his savings, and is now living in this place where he could spend money if he wanted to, but he spent all of this time like changing his money mindset that he is now a saver, and these are kind of the biggest things that have helped him. So the first is opening a high-yield savings account. So he opened one online. A lot of online accounts are great for this. They offer way more interest than brick-and-mortar banks. So and they are just as safe. The only thing they don't have is, like, cash deposits. But so opening an account at a separate place from where you regularly bank and regularly transferring money over to it. So just like you can do that, or there's also apps that do have auto save features like Empower, where they will transfer small amounts that you don't know. But that's not really going to, that'll build your savings, but it's not going to build a habit. Mm-hmm. So doing this, that is, I mean, you're doing it automatically, but I would argue that maybe doing it in addition to doing it regularly, automatically, you also do it manually. Mm-hmm. I believe you should automate everything just because it forces you to save. Mm-hmm. But if you're really trying to build a habit, you really want to do it for yourself. You can't rely on automation.
Well, and you could always do automation and then build a habit of putting in extra.
Yes.
You know, even if it's really a tiny amount, you're still practicing and growing that muscle.
Yeah.
So the next thing that this article lists is to set a medium-term savings goal. I really like this one. So different from, obviously, short-term, different from long-term, medium-term. So they're describing that time frame from about 18 months to 5 years. And setting goals like saving up for a big trip, vacation, saving up for a car, something that would take about that time frame, 18 months to 5 years to save for. And what this does is it gets us excited about saving, because sometimes long-term goals can feel so far in the future and so unattainable that we don't have the motivation to do it. Mm-hmm. And short-term is short-term. That's not going to get you very far. But a medium-term goal where you're working towards this thing, but it's not taking you forever, and then you achieve that, it just, the excitement and motivation continues to build upon mm-hmm. itself. So love this idea specifically for, like we're talking about, transitioning from spender to saver. This is a really good place to start.
Yeah. For me, I think the 18-month is a really good sweet spot. Because the 6 month is more short term for me. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years does seem long term. Well, retirement, that's what he's saying is long term. But for me, it still feels like a long ways away. But I think 18 months is a sweet spot. If you can have like an 18 month goals just in succession, you can really do a lot of things, like good things with your money.
Yeah, or set your long-term savings goals in medium-term increments.
Right.
Say by 18 months from now, I want to have saved $3,000 to $5,000 for retirement.
Yeah.
And then when you get to that 18-month mark, move it over. I mean, you can gamify this thing.
Yeah, you can. It's really sweet. The next is when you receive a windfall, such as your upcoming tax refund. Don't think about how to spend it. Think about how to save it.
Yeah.
Windfalls, we usually think of them as fun money. And if you're receiving a large windfall, like an inheritance, some of that should be used as fun money. Mm-hmm. But something like a tax refund that's only a couple grand, you can use maybe like $50 or $100 to, you know, take your family out on a nice, fun day and spend it on an experience.
Yeah.
But don't let that be the first thing you think about. Think about how you want to save it to get like closer to your goal. And then once you fund that, then use the leftover to take a fun day with your family.
Yeah. And the next one is to avoid situations that would cause you to spend. This, you know, hails back to our sponsor, Restrained. It starts by just not putting yourself in situations where you know you're going to buy all of the tiny bowls or whatever it is, right? Like if you're trying to save money and you've got other things that you do want to be spending your money on, and you know that you're going to spend all your money on photography equipment or biking gear or you name it, don't go to those places or don't visit those sites. That's another thing, right? We talk about not putting yourself in these situations. Okay, it's relatively easy to just not stop in a store, but to not search certain things on your phone that are readily available.
Yeah.
That's a whole other animal. And that's where we can put up barriers for ourselves of, you know, whether that's like it takes some extra steps to get to your browser or to get to certain apps on your phone. Or just saying no, just practicing restraint and not doing those things.
Yeah. And we'll talk about in our upcoming episode on motivation, how your environment is so much more important to staying motivated to something than quote unquote motivation is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So just form your environment to support saving.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword because sometimes even being online can be tempting for us to purchase things. But by the same token, you can use online platforms to help you where being in person might be more tempting. Mm-hmm. Like for those Target people who just cannot get out of Target for less than $50, yeah, maybe you're better off going online for your groceries or your one item that you need than going in store, because then you can just specifically say, I need diapers and I need milk and that's it. I'm not doing the $1 aisle, which ends up being $5 million by the time you get to the cash register.
Yeah. How does it get there?
How did that happen? Where did all those zeros come from?
How did my diapers cost $200? I mean, diapers can cost $200. Yeah. That's a real, but how? Yeah. That's a real question too.
How did one box of diapers cost $200?
Big diapers. His next one is he started considering alternatives to buying new stuff, which we're so into this. So instead of going out, assuming that you need to replace something or assuming you need to buy something new to create more convenience in your life, take the time to look around your house, see if you can fix what you broke or if you can use something else you already have to make do. Mm-hmm. And then next is to buy used. So he goes to Goodwill. I love Facebook Marketplace or eBay. I really love eBay. So go online or go to a thrift store. See if you can get it used. eBay has so many crazy niche items that you're going to spend days at a thrift store looking for or weeks on Facebook Marketplace looking for, and eBay's got them for like a quarter of the price they are new. Mm-hmm. So just take, it doesn't take that long if you're using the right methods to just see like if there's any alternative to buying new.
Yeah. And watch yourself. Right. Sometimes we get excited when something gets broken because it's like, oh, I get to go out and buy a new thing. Well, first of all, do you really need it? Can you do without it? Mm-hmm. Second, can you fix it? Maybe you do want a new one of those things, but can it be fixed and can it last a little bit longer? Or can you replace it used rather than going to the store and buying new? So just putting these, again, some of these routines in place of switching the mindset of something breaks, I go out and I buy a new thing. Thinking through what are my alternatives here? Yeah. Those are going to be the little things that move us from spending a lot to being able to save a lot.
Yeah. And one thing I will say to finish up this thought is that we're not saying buy lesser quality by buying used. Yeah. You can often find something of better quality that will last longer by buying used on eBay or Facebook Marketplace than you would buying new because you don't have the money saved and you want to buy it cheap.
Yep. At the same price point, you can often get something better, more quality. It does require a bit more research and time investment in that, but it's worth the payoff
it.
Can be
Great. It's worth the time.
Mm-hmm. So the last thing on this article is don't spend your time looking for ways to spend your money. And this is a really important point that he's making because we often think that to save money means we're not doing anything or we're not having fun. Mm-hmm. Like the alternative to spending is just sitting at home twiddling your thumbs like, oh, I'm saving, but I'm not doing anything. And that is complete falsehood. Mm-hmm. So rather than thinking, okay, if I'm not spending money, then I'm bored, look for ways to save your money or to do things that are free. I mean, he starts off by talking about just investment, ways to save and get the maximum amount out of that. So of course, you know, Roth IRAs, you could absolutely get into stock market investing, all kinds of different things. But then beyond that is what can I be doing with my time that doesn't cost money? You can still have loads of fun and entertainment and time with friends and rest and relaxation without spending money. I mean, literally reference any previous podcast that we've done.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. Look in your area for what can I be doing rather than just sitting around and kind of get this idea out of our heads that to save money means that we're boring and we sit on our couch all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So We love JD's story and the things that he did. And so our next article is more of like a detox. Like, how can you detox your habits to build up a fresh habit of saving? And I found this really great article.
Who's it written by?
I wrote it.
Yes.
It's on my website.
Our very own Jen Smith.
Yeah. I mean, I write for a living. So one of these days, I was going to put in my own. Yes. But it's on modernfrugality.com. And it's how to use a no-spend month to improve your finances. And I really love the idea of using no-spend challenges, not just for the amount of money that you'll save in a month of not spending on non-essentials, but for what they do for you mentally. They are a reset for your habitual spending, your impulse spending, and all of the mindless spending that we do. And it can't, you can replace that with habits that are more geared towards saving.
Yeah.
So that's why I love no spend challenges. It's why I wrote the book, The No Spend Challenge Guide, on Amazon. And it's why I love them.
Yeah. I mean, you are an expert on this topic. So
yes.
Glad we're using your article.
Yeah. So what is a no-spend challenge other than what I just said? It's just a, and write this down, don't write it down if you're driving, but commit it to memory. A no-spend challenge is a commitment to not spend money on certain things for a predetermined length of time. That's all it is.
So simple.
It is not more complicated than that. You decide what you're not spending money on, and you decide the length of time. Do not follow rules that are predetermined by somebody else, because that takes away your ownership and your authority from the challenge. And there are some things you can spend money on that you don't struggle with, while there are other things you spend money on that are a real struggle for you. And so the idea is just to find out what those things are. And you do that by committing and deciding. Those are step one, step two. So that's all it is.
Yeah. So just to get into a bit more about how to do this, you need to decide what you are going to spend on and what you are not going to spend on. And just like Jen said, it depends on you. You get to decide this, which I love this. There's so much freedom, which listen to any of our episodes and you'll hear us talk about the freedom that there is. So obviously you need to pay your bills and necessary expenses to live and to eat. But beyond that, what are you gonna be able to spend on, and what are you gonna cut? I like what you say here in your article, Jen, just saying, talking about there's no need to cancel subscriptions or gym memberships if you use them, and if you would plan to just start them back up again once the challenge is over. So feel free to keep those things, but take a look at it. If you've got a magazine subscription that just gets thrown in the trash day two, yeah, cancel those. The point is to determine, really, it helps us see where our values are, to pare down and learn, am I actually spending money on things that don't really matter to me? I'm just doing it out of muscle memory. It really doesn't add value to my life. So there's these peripheral perks of a no-spend challenge that help us then to like detox our spending, like what you're saying. So the true lessons in a no spend challenge come from the everyday spending situations, the saying no to the I want it now mentality, and the lie of it's such a good deal. I think that that's such a big one too, between like being frugal and being cheap, is like it was cheap or it was on sale, so I bought it. Well, you still bought it. You still spent the money. So this is what a no spend challenge will do, is it will cut those things out at the base and help you to really identify, what do I need to be spending on? And am I spending money on things that aren't actually important to me? Those will be the results of a no spend challenge.
Yes. Love that. So how do you do a no spend challenge? Well, first you have to prepare. So just like you don't want to start paying off debt without a starter emergency fund, you don't want to start a no-spend challenge without the essentials that'll ensure your success. So first, you want to get your necessities. So those essential items and products, go through what you use every day and see if you're going to need to replace anything in the next month and just get it, replace it now. This is a big one. You're going to want to tell friends and family.
Yeah.
So not just to say like, hey, I'm doing this no spend challenge because I'm so awesome, but you are. That's not why you're telling them. Because you don't want them to invite you to bars or restaurants or invite you to spend money on something. And when they do, inevitably throughout the month, you can remind them, hey, I'm doing this challenge, but let's think of something else that we can do, or let's think of something else I can bring to the potluck, something I already have for my pantry, or, you know, come over to my house and I'll open up my space to you.
And give you water.
Yeah. So it's not about saying no to people. It's about saying, but like, no, but let's do this. Offering up an alternative idea, getting creative is really what a no spend challenge is going to teach you, how to get creative, because we're so used to solving all of our problems with money by buying something. And this offers you a month to pause and think, how can I solve my problem creatively? How can I think for myself? And so that is, that's a big part. And then you can also take to Instagram and find other people doing no spend challenges. There's even been a group coming from the Frugal Friends community on Facebook where they're doing a no and low spend 2020. So we have our own like off, we didn't create it.
Yeah.
It's just an offset group from our group. So there are plenty of places, like even if, you know, nobody's supportive in your real life, you can find virtual friends that you can commiserate with and make fun, make light of all of your situations.
Yeah. Oh, man, when you're doing it with other people, that just helps so much.
Yeah, it does. And then lastly, make a visual representation of your why. I have found that it is really hard for me, and I'll be honest, it is impossible for me to do a no-spend challenge just for the challenge of it. I have to have a very important why if I am going to actually succeed with one. Because I mean, the reason I started doing this is because I'm not good at them. I don't just do these for fun. I don't, I rarely do them anymore.
Yeah.
Like never. So, but when I did, I definitely didn't do them for funsies. I had a really important and significant why.
Yeah.
And I would dare to say, like, most people are not going to get through this unless they have a really significant why. So make a visual representation of it. Put it as the background of your phone, on the background of your desktop, anywhere you see things that you can make a purchase and put in your car, and just be really intentional about it.
Yeah, which is why this is so strongly linked to number two, which is determine a time frame. And that's... I can nearly almost not say this strong enough, that this is not a lifestyle. You are not forever and always not spending. Certainly, it could be a lifestyle that you regularly do a no spend challenge, but we are not saying that there's longevity in hardly ever spending any kind of money. This is a very specific thing for a very specific time for a very specific reason, whether that's to identify your priorities in spending, to save for a certain goal, to pare down. I mean, you name it, just like Jen said, find out what your why is for doing it, but put a time frame on it. Now, there's freedom in this. You can do a day, a weekend, a week, a month, a couple of months, a year. Whatever it is, though, put a time frame on it and determine how long and what are the boundaries and the rules within that. Certainly, I love the idea of days or a weekend or a week specifically for starters. I mean, I think it's a fantastic place to start. Start small. Figure out how this is working for you. I know we just recently talked on a previous podcast about doing days scattered throughout the month.
Yeah, our episode with Kate from That Debt-Free Life, she did 15 days a month. And at the end of the year, she had essentially done a 6-month no-spend challenge.
But it's just sprinkled.
Yeah.
which is amazing. And that can feel a whole lot more attainable. So whatever it is, put a time frame on it so that you know when it's done. Of course, don't use that time frame as an excuse to starve yourself and then just spend like crazy the next day, because that will inevitably ruin your budget more than save it.
Yes.
So yeah, time frame is super important to this process.
Yeah. And I have on my website a 7-day no spend challenge where I will email you every day for 7 days. And go through every email, will have something that might come up and how you can combat it. And you can find that modernfrugality.com/no spend kit, K-I-T. And yeah, so you can start with 7 days and see how that works for you.
Nice.
And so next is decide what you're going to spend on. Just like I said at first, it is important for you to figure out what you are going to spend on, as much as what you're not going to spend on. So you can choose to not spend on particular items. So if there is something specifically tripping you up, like trips to Starbucks every day or those Boston cream donuts at Dunkin' Donuts, anything Chipotle at night after work, you can just choose that or a few items. Otherwise, no spending on impulse. So if it's not planned, if it's not written down, then it doesn't get spent on. So if you know you want to go to a coffee shop with a friend on a Saturday and you know that's going to happen, you schedule it in and that's something you can spend on.
Yeah.
So not spending on impulse. Then we get really, really deep. And so only spending on groceries and gas, no other purchases. You pay for your bills. And then like non-perishables and gas and nothing else. Or zero spending. Maybe you prepay your bills and you put all your cash and cards away. I would probably only do this on the days you don't have bills due. Or if you can change when your bills are due. That's probably not attainable for most people, but it can happen if you're super overzealous about it.
And some people will do zero spend for a week when they know I've got enough in my fridge already, fridge and pantry for food, and we can do this thing for a whole week where we're not. Some people have gone a little crazy with it and are able to do a full month. Like they've got enough in their pantry, freezer, fridge to have food.
Well, and I don't
they
think
don't
it's crazy.
Really drive
it's,
anywhere.
We have these pantries and we just buy two of something because it's BOGO and we only use one. And so the leftover just keep piling up in the pantry.
Yeah.
And then we have these full pantries that we don't know what to do with. So it's really a great way to clear out your pantry and declutter your pantry when you're doing a no spend challenge.
Yeah. And it's going to help you understand your spending. We mentioned that already. There's a whole lot of benefits to this, of helping us in habit formation, reducing stress, decision fatigue. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
It's already decided for you.
You just take a month off of deciding, should I buy this or not? Because the answer is already no. So there you go.
Nope.
Take a break.
Nope. Practice restraint. And then lastly, just figure out how you're going to fill your time, right? So we can't just pull something away that's meaningful to us or has been typically how we spend our time and replace it with nothing. That's not going to be sustainable. Figure out what you're going to do instead of going out, spending the money, whether that's on food or shopping or whatever. And some ideas, excellent ideas, Jen, have friends over. Invite people over, do a bit more hosting. And that's where you can have a potluck, invite other people to bring food, utilize food that you already have on hand, have a pantry party. I love this idea.
Yes.
It's like a gamified potluck. It's telling everybody, what do you have on hand? Bring that thing over. And who knows what we're going to have, but it'll be an eclectic combination of food, which I think is kind of fun. It's
and then
risky,
you
know?
You play games.
It's edgy.
Yeah. Just have a bunch of randos. Like foods, not people. I mean, you people too. I don't know you.
Whatever you want to do, have a pantry party with randos, says Jen. She wrote the article, so I'm not going to take that from her.
That's not in the article.
Exercise. Start forming these other healthy habits that are free. Yes, it can be free. You don't have to have a crazy expensive gym membership.
YouTube.
Have a movie night. This is another thing that you can do with friends. You can do it by yourself. Whatever you want to do. Figure out a way that a no-spend challenge can work for you. But also, once you're done, reflect.
Yeah.
I think this is a big piece to doing this of what did you learn in the process? What did you notice about your spending habits? What was the most difficult part of it? That's very telling about who we are. And are there areas that you realize, actually, it's not that important for me to spend money in that area. I found I had a lot of fun doing X, Y, Z instead. So don't just do it and then move on. Mm-hmm. Do it and reflect and then implement changes as a result of what you've learned.
Yes. Amen. You know what else reflected on as a result of what I've learned?
Ooh, yes. Is it the
bill of the week?
It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the bill of the week.
Hi, Jen and Jill. This is Leslie from Saskatchewan calling. Your show is awesome. I want to tell you that first off, but I'm just calling in with my bill of the week. I made my very last debt payment on my favorite bill, which was debt to treat my cat for cancer. So he got cancer from a vaccine, and it's taken me 2 years to pay off his surgery bill and his radiation treatments, and he's far surpassed the vet's expectation. He's 2 years almost cancer-free. So that is by far my favorite bill of the week. Thanks for your show. Bye.
Leslie and Leslie's cat.
And Leslie's cat, both of you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. It feels so good to pay off debt. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm sure that wasn't easy, especially the reason for the debt is not good, but you just called us with all the good news though. Your cat's doing well. Yes. You paid off the debt. So glad to be on this side of that journey. Well done, Leslie.
Yes. If you have a pet-related bill, because we have a lot of pet-related bills.
Yes.
And we love them, every single one of them. We never get tired of them. Please visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill to leave us a voicemail or a SpeakPipe message, and we will play your bill on the air, and we will celebrate with you. That's what we're here to do. That's why we do this, is to celebrate.
Yes.
That's it.
And that's why we're doing video now, so you can actually see us like fist pumping in the air.
99% of the reason we are doing this, because we always are like going like that, but nobody can see how excited we are.
No, we just tell you and you have to believe us, which who does that?
Nobody.
Right?
Nobody believes
Well,
us.
Now it's time for the lightning round.
I whispered it. That's 1% of the reason we started doing YouTube, so you can see Jill do the lightning round intro.
I noticed that I've gone more lighthearted with it since we've been in the same room, really.
Well, because now you're happy because you're in Florida. Before you were in Pennsylvania and you were mad.
And it's so like aggression. It's the lightning round.
Scare
people.
Yeah, it's much happier now.
Yes. What are we going to do for our lightning round, Jen?
We're going to have to relive these. Remember, we already went through these once before. But our spending fails and saving wins 2020 edition.
Mm, it's both.
Yeah.
All right. Go for it.
My last spending flub, and I feel like I've talked about this like 10 million times, and it is this purchase that will haunt me. I was in Target, of course. And I was in the stationery paper office supplies aisle. You understand me. And I saw a planner, and I love planners. Mm. And I looked at it and it was so cool. And I was like, I have two planners. I don't need a third one. And so, of course, I did what anyone would do. And I put it in my cart anyway. And I bought it.
And I got giving it. Giving me a hard time about my tiny bowls.
And I got it home and I start writing in it. And I realize I'm writing the same dang thing that I've written in like my other two planners.
Like you had both your planners out and you're like transcribing over to the new one.
Well, I'm so dumb. What am I doing? And so now this planner, like I've already written in it, so I can't return it. This planner sits on my counter as a constant reminder that I am not perfect.
Oh, is that why you're keeping it?
No, it's not why I'm keeping it. It's because I can't return it. And everybody
then
you
can't throw it out either.
I can't throw it out because personal reasons.
It's too beautiful.
Right. And then everybody I ask, I'm like, do you want a planner? Do you want a planner? And they're like, no, I don't use paper planners.
Yeah, I use a paper planner too.
Do you want a
Both
planner?
Of us. No, I have one already.
And that's what everyone keeps saying.
I'm practicing restraint.
Everybody keeps saying that. And so this planner will haunt me for the rest of 2020.
Well, at least that was like a $10 spending flub. You want to hear my spending fail? I'm going to call it a fail, not a flub. Holy smokes. You could see, in my outline, I literally wrote next to spending fail, January, dot, 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 because January was my spending fail. And here it is, y'all, because you're admitting you're not perfect. And so I'm going to be vulnerable, too, and tell you all that I'm not perfect. So we killed it. We crushed it, actually, in December, as we normally do, because we think that unplanned gifts are ridiculous. Like, why just spend to spend? And, you know, we tell people that we're gonna do experiences. We're gonna do time together. Eric and I did not get gifts for each other. Like, we did the holidays, man, frugal. But then January comes and it's like this problem with the potential problem with a no spend challenge is like, all right, we deprived ourselves. Let the dogs loose.
That's real. Yeah.
And here's the thing. Eric's birthday is in January. It's January 25th. It's actually exactly 1 month after Christmas. So then it's like, well, I didn't get him anything for Christmas and now it's his birthday and let's do that. And also food and let's have fun with that because it's the dead of winter in Pennsylvania. And what is there fun to do but go eat out? And then I wanted to have a party for him, but then I wanted nobody to have to bring anything. So I provided all of the food and I'm so glad that I did. Like, I'm thrilled for that. But anyhow, this is getting long. At the end of the day, I spent so much more money. Oh, and then we had issues with our car and we had to get like all of the expenses, which that's why you have an emergency fund. Like, so that's not our fault. But at the end of the day, we definitely spent more in January than we brought in. Thankfully, we had the money because we have an emergency fund, but keep me accountable next January. Like, Jill, you probably crushed it in December, but January's coming.
Don't get
Watch
a big head.
Out. Practice restraint. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't give your husband gifts for Christmas or his birthday.
Skip it off. Yeah.
Save it for your birthday. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm sorry. I take it back. Eric, you're the best.
Sorry, Eric. All right. Well, okay.
Moving on.
Saving wins.
Yes.
Wins.
Lighthearted.
Let's talk about wins. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my latest win was opening a 529 for Kai.
Woo-woo.
Yeah. So I had a really good January money-wise, like bringing in income. So.
Okay, Jen.
But January is always the best month of the year for personal finance. So like, let's not get it twisted.
Okay. Okay.
In July, nobody cares about budgeting and I will make $0.
No, we're going to make them care.
Yeah. We try. But I'm still
going to make. If it's Christmas in July, let's do finances in August.
Okay.
Is that how that works? Whatever. Keep going.
Anyways, I had a really good month in January, so I started a 529 for Kai. Mm. And we talked about 529 plans in episode 56. And we had College Backer on, and I actually started one with College Backer because I really loved their interface when we were doing the interview with Abby. So, and you can go to frugalfriendspodcast.com/collegebacker And they actually matched, they gave me $25.
Nice.
For funding the 529.
Yeah, yeah. If you use that link, you actually, the college backer will give you money towards the account that you open. So frugalfriendspodcast.com/collegebacker, or we've got the link in our show notes.
Yeah. And so that was, I was super excited because I could, I put $1,000 in there and I could, and I set up a recurring investment.
Nice.
And I'm very excited.
Kai, looks like you might go to college.
Maybe. But if he doesn't go to college, that's fine. I'll just transfer it to another child or grandchild or someone
or
I
yourself.
Don't know.
Get your second master's, girl.
Man, no. I almost said an expletive. Girl, don't make me.
Okay. Here's my savings win. I actually invested in a Vanguard Roth IRA.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. That's for anyone who knows me, you know that's a big step. But I also did it. This is no lie. This is embarrassing.
I did it
because I got a $20 Amazon gift card for linking that account to personal capital.
Yeah.
Like that's why I did it. I'm super glad that I did it. And it's like, I should have motivation beyond a $20 Amazon gift card to do it. But whatever. And this is still happening. This is available to you all. Go to frugalfriendspodcast.com/PCAP. I mean, set up your account, right? Set up an investment account with over $1,000 in it, at least $1,000. And then go to frugalfriendspodcast.com/PCAP, link your accounts, and you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card. So if you're similar to me and like you're only going to make wise choices for yourself if someone's like dangling a carrot in front of you, here you go.
Yeah. But I love that personal capital does that because it motivates and incentivizes people getting started.
Yeah.
Because now you have that Roth IRA.
Yeah.
So you could very easily set up a recurring investment.
And now I'm putting money towards it.
Yeah.
So
thank you, personal capital.
Personal capital.
I loved you before, but I love you more now. So
frugalfriendspodcast.com/PCAP.
Yeah. And get your own.
Yeah.
And that is that's the last episode. That's the last episode.
Yeah, that's what the universe didn't want you to hear, but you heard it.
So. You did. And we're so glad. We're so glad to have been able to record it a second time.
Yes.
And thank you so much for listening the first time. We want to thank you for all of your listens and your kind reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We love them. Just like this one. It's from Bluebird and Thorn. Just what I needed to hear. It's 5 stars. I've been searching for a podcast, book, audiobook, YouTube video along the lines of this podcast, and it's ticked every box that I was looking for. Excited to listen to more episodes. Finding peace without breaking the budget is so down to earth and reminds you to take a step back and focus on the here and now. Loved the gratitude board for the partner. I'll try something like this myself.
Nice.
Heart eyes emoji.
Which is referencing a recent podcast that we did where we talked about you writing down gratitude pieces about Travis.
Yeah. Something that I'm thankful for mm-hmm. my husband mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah. Which can totally shift, really. Not that you need a shift in your relationship. It can shift a struggling relationship, but it can also build upon better and better for
and we
an
actually
great relationship.
Did a whole episode on gratitude and contentment, and you'll be hearing that in the next few weeks. So excited for that.
So we also want to thank our friends who share these episodes on social media. And so if you share the latest episode and tag us on Facebook or Instagram, we will add you to our monthly drawing. For every 5 tags and reviews we get each month, we're giving away a $10 Amazon gift card. There's so many ways to make, like already in this episode, we've talked about how to get a $20 Amazon gift card, how to get a $10 Amazon gift card.
How to get $25 for your kid.
Yeah. You almost made $55
episode. You're welcome. Yeah. And you have 2 days to get in on February's. So tag away, share away. And keep leaving us those reviews on iTunes or Stitcher if you haven't. They really help people figure out what our podcast is about, know what they're getting into. Because we don't want people listening if they're not into what we're offering.
Yeah.
So if you have left a review, please screenshot it and send it to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. so we can enter you in that monthly drawing. And don't forget to tag us on social.
See you next week.
Bye. Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
What is this? What's this move called?
Getting ready for our next interview.
Yes.
Getting ready.
Amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
Last time we talked about how you were going to be coming here.
Oh, I'm here.
You're here now.
Yes. So when we recorded the episode that got erased from humanity.
Audio got erased. Her audio got lost and then found, and my audio was always there, but it was blank.
Yeah, it was weird. We both had difficulty with it. Mine was in the trash. It had gone to the trash. Eric found it in my trash on my computer and then like revived it. So yeah, there was something in the water against that episode. But we recorded it the day before Eric and I got in our car and pulled our house down here.
So in hindsight, maybe we should have just waited till you got down here to do
it. You know what? Maybe that's what it was.
And that's, because the people on YouTube really need to see this one. They really need to see it. The people need to see it.
Oh, all right. Well,
all right.
On to the next thing.
Bye-bye.